There are many things that I am thankful for this Christmas Eve. One of those things is that Elliot is two and he likes to do things himself, which means that the candy that he's eating right now is slowed down only by the fact that he's insisting on unwrapping it himself. But I am thankful for Christmas. I am thankful that our Savior has been born. I am thankful to be part of such a vibrant and thriving church community. I am thankful to be part of this community as a whole. I'm thankful to be part of a country that where we are free to worship and express God however we like. I am thankful for this moment. And at Christmas time, we often talk about the same things. And really, it's the same story over and over again, right? The story of Jesus and his birth. But I think that when we look at it as being the same story over and over again, we're missing out on something. And really, oftentimes, the story that we think that we know or what we think to be true isn't always truth. We have all this stuff that kind of gets blended in through tradition, through movies, through family celebrations, all things that are great, but things that you don't necessarily find in the Bible. Hear this from Scott Erickson, who's a popular Christian speaker and artist. He says, it's assumed that Mary rode on a donkey, but it doesn't say that she did. It's assumed that there was an innkeeper, but it doesn't mention them anywhere. It's assumed that there were three magi, but it doesn't give a number of who showed up. It's assumed there was a star overhead when Jesus was born, but it doesn't say that either. It's assumed that Jesus was born in a stable, but all it says is he was laid in a manger, and that could have been any number of places. Christmas comes with many assumptions, some helpful and some not. And oftentimes, our spirituality fails us because of the assumptions that we make about what it's supposed to look like. Assumptions that we make about what we think that it's supposed to look like, who it's worthy to happen to, and what kind of outcome is supposed to happen to us. But the wonder of the incarnation, the wonder of God being born as a baby, is that it's happening every day, despite your lack of resources, despite overcrowded lodging, your unlit night sky, your humble surroundings, and nothing can separate us from the love that is found in Jesus Christ. But oftentimes our assumptions can make us think that we can be separated. We've been in a series for the last several weeks called Making Christmas, and we've been talking about how ordinary and everyday things of Christmas help us to make Christmas. Things like the lights of Christmas, or the angel, or the Virgin Mary, things along those lines help us to make Christmas. And so tonight we're talking about making Christmas the miracle. The miracle of Jesus' birth. And Jesus' birth had been prophesied for generations. Many prophets prophesied about the coming Messiah. The people knew that he was coming. They had heard the prophecies. And everything happened just as the prophecy said that it would. And yet, people were still caught off guard. It didn't happen quite the way that people were expecting. It didn't happen quite the way that people wanted. They weren't suddenly set free from the Romans. Their lives weren't seemingly set free in the way that they wanted them to be set free. And in so many ways, it was backwards. The birth of our Savior, really even saying that, the birth of our Savior is so backwards to what so many were expecting. That a baby born to a young virgin, after traveling a great distance to completely unprepared parents and some of the lowliest of places, and to have your first visitors be these dingy and dirty shepherds. And those are the people who show up to welcome God, born as a baby, laid in a manger. You see, God's kingdom was first revealed in some of the lowliest of places to some of the lowliest of people. God has this way of doing things his own way. He's God, after all. He has every right. But he often does things in such a way that it seems so backwards to us, where he has a way of making the poor rich and the weak strong, of using the most unlikely of characters to further his kingdom and his plan. Jesus' arrival on planet Earth may not have happened as many assumed that it would. It may not have happened as many of us wish that it would. But it happened perfectly and just as it should. It happened in a way that only God could. It happened to remind you and I that even though we are totally and completely people of unworth, today we celebrate his birth. And it's for us that he was born and would die. The birth of Jesus Christ was miraculous in so many ways. From the divine conception to the very place in which he was born. And think of this. In terms of his mother, he first gave breath to her long before she gave birth to him. Ponder that. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And so even as this baby is being held in his mother's and father's arms, it is he that is holding them and everything else together. The birth of God's Son is described as very simple. Swaddling cloths or long strips which you could wrap around the child, round and around. And the fact that Mary wrapped the child herself, that it was something that she did herself after giving birth, shows the lowly place, the lonely place that they would have been in. That they, Mary and Joseph, would have most likely have been alone. Otherwise, someone else would have taken on tasks like that. It's said that Jesus was laid in a manger, and because of that, we often speak of him as being born in a stable. And that may have been true. It may have been a stable. But it's also possible the birth could have taken place in the family of somebody who was very poor, where the animals in the family shared the same roof. There's an ancient tradition that says it could have been a cave. We don't really know. We only know that everything points to poverty, obscurity, and even rejection. There was no place for him in the inn. And it may have been that Joseph left too late on his journey. It could have been that the innkeeper wasn't necessarily an inn, but a relative's house. And there had been a guest room prepared for them, but someone beat them there. And so there just wasn't room for them. But what we do know is that through the combination of events, through this decree that the people should be called and be registered, through there not being room in the inn. All these events that took place in history that are actual and true events happened in such a perfect way as to match up perfectly with the prophecy that was to say that he was going to be born in a lowly state. Indeed, all that occurred that night was miraculous. Ponder what Charles Spurgeon wrote. Those little arms in the manger will one day grapple with the monster death and destroy it. Those little arms in the manger will one day grapple with the monster death and destroy it. And really, this is why we celebrate. The birth of Christ declared that our Savior was here. And that he came to set us free. That he came to conquer sin and death. That we so desperately needed him. And he appeared in a form that seemed so unlikely. This baby born and laid in a manger. But he was also God. And he was powerful enough to conquer sin and death. And so today we celebrate that great gift wrapped in the package of swaddling clothes, the package that was laid in a manger, the package that grew to manhood, that ministered amongst the disciples for 3 years, was persecuted, was crucified, who died, and who raised again. That is the Savior that we celebrate the birth of today. The Savior who came to save all of us. This tiny baby, so unexpected. So this Christmas, I would invite you to be in awe. To be in awe of the miraculous that had to take place to match up with the prophecy that had been given. The miraculous conception, the miraculous thoughts that a baby had come to save the world. And be in awe that it was done for you. Because our Savior was born into some of the most lowliest of places. So that even when we find ourselves at the lowest points of our lives, we know that our Savior is still here for us. That he died for us, that he was born for us. And so we're called to be like those lowly shepherds, those dirty and filthy shepherds who came to worship the king and then left, telling everyone everything that they had seen and heard. And so as we go out today, as we go out into Christmas, let's be like those shepherds and share with all those that we come into contact with that our Savior has been born, that he has come to save us, and indeed he has. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty God, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, we come to you tonight in awe of everything that you have done. We come in awe that you have chosen us in our lowly state, Lord God, that we would have fit in very well in the place of your birth. And we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for that visual representation that we are good enough because you choose for us to be. We pray that you would remind us of that. We pray that you would carry us forward this Christmas and always. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.